Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is An Utter Disgrace. I'm sure many of you either watched live or maybe caught some of the highlights, some of the reporting on the House Judiciary Committee hearing this afternoon with Attorney General Bill Barr. This, in and of itself, was one of the many utter disgraces that we are going to be discussing here. I don't know if I've ever seen a more disgraceful and despicable performance by politicians. And there have been many, too many to count. You know, I understand political grandstanding, trying to sound good and look good for the cameras and try to make your points for your base and your political party, this, that, and the other. But there is also this thing called the American people. There is also this thing called the Constitution of the United States. I know it's been trampled on. I know it's basically going through the shredder. There is this thing called checks and balances. There is this thing called civil discord. All of these things are out the window. If you're going to have the Attorney General come before any committee, before the House or the Senate, which is rightly so, this is a system of checks and balances, at least it's supposed to be. You want to delegate responsibilities and powers to the executive branch? Well, then it's the job of Congress through oversight through various committees to call in these bureaucrats, these top dogs, these secretaries of the various departments, and hold them to account. This is the people's business. This is the people's money. This is our government. What is going on? You have a 24/7 news cycle to do your grandstanding, and they all do it. Republicans, Democrats alike. You want to have your backhanded remarks and comments? Go on Fox, go on CNN, go on MSNBC, pick your poison, do it. They do it anyway. You want to have your backhanded comments? Do it during debate when you're on the House or Senate floor. Do it on your Twitter account. Do it when you're in front of the reporters on the steps of the Capitol building. Do it with your local newspaper when they're asking you questions. Enough's enough. If you're going to bring the Attorney General before the committee, allow the man to answer some questions. Otherwise, whether you like Bill Barr or not, he does have an important position as the Attorney General of the United States. His hands are full. Let him stay at the DOJ. And then you can do all of your grandstanding at the committee hearing. I mean, it was disgusting. It's disgraceful, and it is another symptom of what is going on in this country. We are in decline. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm just going to take this broader, because I've witnessed this, and I'm sure many of you have witnessed this as well, either on TV or firsthand with personal experience. The political climate is so toxic. You're somebody who supports Donald Trump, and you know somebody who despises him. Chances are you're not going to be able to have any type of adult conversation with each other. One of you, maybe both, are not going to be able to do it. Both sides are just as guilty. Can't take a picture with the president or somebody. Now I can't even think about liking that person anymore because they shook the president's hand. They went to the White House, they were in the Oval Office, they shook his hand, they took a picture with him. I can't even respect that person anymore. This is the mentality that's going through this country. Can we have a little respect, at least for the office? Can you have a little respect for the person to, whether you like Trump or not? I'm not a fan of his anymore. This audience understands this. I voted for him, but you can respect the man. You can respect the office he holds. You can have respect for the amount of responsibility that is on his shoulders. Now, you might think he's doing a fantastic job, mediocre. He's got to go. You can think whatever you want, and you're going to have the ability to vote him back in or to vote him out in a few short months. But can we please have some respect? Can we please have some civility in this country again? Now, it's not likely going to happen, and in fact, I'm pretty certain that it's not. Because this country, the world, is lacking leadership. It is lacking honesty, and it's lacking the ability for people to look you in the eye and tell you the truth. So this is going to run its course. Yeah, we got COVID-19. We do have that pandemic, but we have a more serious pandemic that is running through global society. And it's that. It's a lack of leadership. It's a lack of honesty. It's a lack of truth telling. And that is not an option, seemingly, by anybody in the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, or in the White House. The Federal Reserve, other central banks, other governments the world over. Kick the can down the road, keep printing money, kick the can down the road, print money, beg, borrow, steal. How much longer do you think this is going to last? This is exactly what's going on too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not making this stuff up. You just have to pay attention. That's the real virus that's bringing us all down. When are people going to wake up to this? And I think it's going to happen. Look, we have the solution. It's better than a vaccine. It's a cure. It is a cure. It's not a flu vaccine. Well, maybe it'll help you. Maybe it won't. We have the cure. It's a constitutional republic. It's free market capitalism. It's leadership. It's honesty. It's true justice, not a two-tier justice system. We have the cure. We're not using it. So now, because you're not going to use the cure, you're not going to use any semblance of any type of therapy to resolve this, this virus is going to have to run its course. Now, hopefully, if we're lucky enough, we'll survive it. If not, it's going to kill us. This is, and it's because nobody wants to take any sacrifices. Nobody wants to take any responsibility. This is akin to somebody who has a terrible diet, doesn't exercise, smokes like a chimney, drinks like a fish. I'm just using this to exaggerate, but you're going to understand the analogy. Person finally goes to the doctor, goes to see their cardiologist and says, hey, this you're just in terrible shape. Open heart surgery, triple bypass, what have you. Got to do it all. You can't expect to do all these things and then expect to be in tip-top shape. You're not, so we got to go in, otherwise you're going to die. So, okay, open me up, doc. Let's do what we got to do. Well, you know, there's going to be some sacrifices. You're going to have to change your behavior. You're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to start exercising. Stop drinking, stop smoking, or at least less. And yeah, the doctor's going to do a successful surgery, hopefully. And assuming that it does go successfully, you're not bouncing out of bed the next day, Chuck. There's recovery time. That's what this country, that's what the global system is going through right now. This is the realization that we need radical open-heart surgery. But nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to do anything about it. And everybody says, well, if we're going to do that, even if we do it, even if we admit to that, well, there's going to be a V-shaped recovery. We're going to do it, and then the next day, you can pop up and you can run a marathon. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's how insane all of this is. There are so many utter disgraces going on right now, it's not even funny. It's criminal. And maybe you could say, well, it's not quite criminal. It is. It's criminal. It's most definitely immoral and unethical, and it's un-American. Yet, don't worry. As long as you get your extra $600, extra $200, extra $1,200, your sit-down and shut-up money, that's what you're going to do. You're going to sit down and shut up. Meanwhile, all of these idiots, all of the maniacs, the inmates who are running the asylum and have been running the asylum for generations, are running away with billions and trillions of dollars. But as long as you get your $1,200, that's it. And they'll keep us distracted. Even this performance today by the House Democrats was just another performance. This was just another measure of divide and conquer. And of course, the Republicans were there to defend Attorney General Barr. And this is on both sides, folks. You remember Hillary Clinton? You remember Eric Holder? Remember Loretta Lynch? The Republicans running them through the ringer? Okay, this happens on both sides. So wake up. This is theater at the end of the day. But it's just another point of something that is so disgraceful and distasteful. This is why good people, good men and women out there, don't want to run for office. Not to be politicians, but to be statesmen and women. People who would give us a semblance of leadership. People who would tell us the truth. These idiots running the show deter good people from running because they don't want to be in that world. They don't want to subject themselves, their husbands, their wives, their children, to that lifestyle. And it's very dirty. And it doesn't have to be. But that's what these people do because that's who they are. They're sick to their core. Most of them are sociopaths. Most of them are psychopaths. Because they don't care about people. They don't care about you. That's why we have almost a $27 trillion national debt. That's why we're going to have a $4 trillion annual deficit for fiscal year 2020 alone. They don't care about you. And it's laughable that now all of a sudden Mitch McConnell and the Republicans attempt to grow a spine and say, oh, now we're concerned about future generations bearing the cost of this national debt and this deficit. They didn't say anything a few months ago. Remember, it was 96-0 out of the Senate. No votes for America. Thank you very much. But now all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe them that they're concerned about the debt and deficits after they blew it up like nobody's business. Give me a break. These people are laughable. And yet, still, people are going to go in and they're going to vote for these Republicans and they're going to vote for these Democrats once again because they actually think it's going to make a difference. It's not. It's not. When are you going to wake up to understand this? And I wish I had the solution to tell you, well, it's just, you know, flip of a switch and that's it. No, it's not. This has to run its course. I spoke yesterday briefly about some interesting data that I came across. Somebody put together an interesting chart about the wealth inequality that existed prior and during the French Revolution, off with their heads, bring out the guillotines, and comparing it to today with the United States. We blow the French out of the water. This isn't going to end well. All of these moratoriums, these evictions, these foreclosures that are just waiting in the wings, this is going to get nasty. That is a very emotional event. Somebody get kicked out of their house, especially if you have kids. Where am I going to go? Maybe they don't have family. Maybe they don't have friends. Where am I going to go? What are we going to do? Somebody's going to get hurt. And I hope I'm wrong, but I imagine somebody's going to get killed in all of this process. I hope I'm 100% wrong. But emotions are running high. People are fed up. They are sick and tired. I told you these protests were going to be coming to a theater near you. They're here. They're just getting started. You see how bad they can get? Look to other countries. You think, oh, that's not going to happen here. Oh, it is going to happen here. It is. Because there's no leadership. There's no honesty. There's no truth-telling. The crackheads on Wall Street are running away with billions of dollars. We talked about some of the bank earnings reports for the second quarter a week or two ago. Some of them are making just record profits from their trading desks on fixed income, commodities, what have you. Why? Not because they've become geniuses overnight, but because the Federal Reserve's printing money, bailing everybody out. Well, it's got to go somewhere. They get the money first. Okay, we get first dibs. We pick the winners. We take the profits. Where's Occupy Wall Street? Where's the Tea Party? Where are these people? They both had it. They were both fed up a decade ago. Now it's even worse. Where are they? Where are they? Where are the Democrats who are always concerned about corporate welfare and corporate handouts? Where are they stopping this? Where are the fiscal conservative Republicans saying enough is enough? Where are they? They're not existent. Even if they come out and say it, you can't believe them. because of what's already taken place. That's why it's laughable. Yet you're going to go into the booth in November, pull the lever, and think you're making a difference. It's not going to make a difference until these people are truly all kicked out. You cannot have this establishment, you cannot have this order continuing to operate. You just can't. There truly needs to be a revolution in this country. That's what it's going to come to. Like I've said, there's government overthrows that will be happening in countries all over the world. We're starting to see it with the weakest links, the economic collapses, the total collapses in some instances, whether that's Venezuela or Lebanon. And others are going to be added to that mix. We haven't seen anything. We have not seen anything. The Federal Reserve, the government, they can help a liquidity crisis, as we've been saying here for months. But they can't stave off an insolvency crisis. That's why you're seeing bankruptcy after bankruptcy after bankruptcy. They're coming. And there's just a wave of them waiting in the wings. 20% of our companies are zombie companies. Zombie corporations. 20%! How much longer do you think this can be sustained? Do you want it to turn into 25%, 30%? Good luck getting a job. Good luck telling your kid who might be going to college or is just graduating college, good luck finding a job there, Jimmy. You ain't going to find one. Because all of these zombie companies, they can't afford to hire people because they got too much debt. That's what qualifies them as zombie companies. You cannot add more debt into a system that is suffering, that is plagued by debt as it is. You cannot expect to grow by using more debt. Those days have long sailed. They're gone. They're gone. It shouldn't have been used back then either. But at least they could get away with it. That's when the demographics were in our favor. A lot of tailwinds behind us, at our backs, moving us forward. You could throw a dollar of debt out there, get a dollar 25 back or what have you. Now you throw a dollar out, you're not getting a dollar back. You're lucky if you get 90 cents back. Diminishing marginal returns, it's done. It's junk. It's junk. Yet nobody's going to come out there and tell you this. Because they want this system to keep playing. They want the corruption to keep going. Where's the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission? Because we have Operation Warp Speed. This is the operation out of the White House that deals with coming up with a vaccine. Doesn't that make you feel safe? A vaccine and Operation Warp Speed. You getting this? Vaccine, Operation Warp Speed. Oh, this is just going to be the safest vaccination ever. Well, again, we have Moderna come out. They're receiving more money from the federal government to back their efforts to put out a vaccine. Stock has catapulted higher on a handful of these headlines. Then you get, obviously, the real news comes out, and then the stock goes back down, and then they come up with another BS headline that the vaccine's going to work, and it goes back up. Wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? On the days when the stock has spiked, insiders within Moderna have been selling their shares. That's a head-scratcher, isn't it? Huh, why would they do that? If everything is so promising that they're going to come out with this miracle vaccine that several billion people on this planet are going to have to take, right? That's the fear-mongering they're telling us. Well, then why would you sell your shares now, so early in the process? Why wouldn't you want to hold it on for the ride? Huh. Maybe they're playing the system. Where's the SEC? And this is out of the White House. Operation Warp Speed. You get it? Do you understand what's going on? Do you care that you're being ripped off? Because this is right in your face. Come out with a BS headline. Stock goes up. Insiders sell their shares. This, again, put this in your jar. Put this in your bucket of evidence that this is a banana republic. Okay? Because it is. This is exactly what happens. This has been going on for years. This isn't just under the Trump administration, but my God, is he taking this to another level. your inner circle just making out like the bandits that they all are. And it's in your face. It's unbelievable. One disgrace after the next. Tomorrow is going to be the conclusion of the Federal Open Market Committee. And they're obviously going to make their decision. I'm sure they're going to keep interest rates quite low for quite a while, don't you think? That's what Jay Powell's going to come out and say. We're going to do whatever it takes, because that's the de facto motto now of the Federal Reserve System. Whatever it takes. We're going to do whatever it takes. And I really hope, but of course this is not going to happen because it never does, unfortunately. I would hope that a reporter would ask the chairman how all of these emergency facilities are truly benefiting the American people when so much of the money is going to major corporations. And of course, the Federal Reserve comes out and announces that they are going to be extending their alphabet soup of emergency facilities through the end of this year. They were supposed to come to a conclusion at the end of September. They are now being extended till the end of December. So it's going to take us to the beginning of 2021. This should not be a surprise to anybody. But the question is, why? Why? Aren't all of these policies working? I mean, look, you got the NASDAQ at all-time highs. You got the Dow creeping closer and closer to getting back to where it was before. The S&P 500 getting closer and closer to where it was before. Jay Powell testified before Congress that said all of our actions, even just our announcements, are soothing the markets, allowing them to function properly. And remember, because we discussed this a few weeks ago, I had to give credit to one of my senators, Pat Toomey. I had to give him credit for asking Jay Powell that question. Mr. Powell, if you're saying that everything is functioning well, either because you're actually doing something or just because you're announcing your intent to potentially do something, then why are you utilizing some of these emergency facilities? Just because you announced that you might use them or that you're willing to use them doesn't mean that you have to use them.
Well, we're going to do it, and what are you going to do about it?
Was basically his response. Because there's no oversight of the Federal Reserve. There's no checks and balances. They do whatever the hell they want. And that's exactly what they're doing. This is just the stuff that we know of. This is just the stuff that we know of. What are they doing behind the scenes that we'll never know about? Or if we do, it'll be years and years down the road. But they're going to come out, announce their policy decision on interest rates. I'm sure he'll continue to mention how Congress has to do more, because this has been his common theme for the past several months. Congress has to do more. Central banks can only do so much. Wink, wink. Spend, beg, borrow, steal more money, Congress. That's their sound advice. Deficits and debts mattered last year. Now they couldn't care less about them. We'll worry about them later. When? When it's $30 trillion? $32? $35 trillion? When? When are we going to care? When is the Federal Reserve's balance sheet going to normalize again? When are interest rates going to go back up because of Federal Reserve mandated policy? Not because the markets move interest rates higher, but because the Federal Reserve actually lifts them and says, now we want the federal funds rate to be 1% or 2.5%. When's that going to happen? If it was Boomtown USA, which of course it wasn't, in 2017 and 2018, and all we could get back to was 2.25%, 2.5%, and we couldn't tolerate that, well, how are we going to do it now when we've just compounded the problem? The answer is we're not. We're not. This is the death by a thousand cuts, which was one of the previous podcasts we did, I don't even know how long ago, but during this madness of COVID-19 and all of these stimulus, quote-unquote stimulus programs, the Nobody Cares Act. And of course, again, you have your political jockeying right now between the Democrats promising more and more and more, and the Republicans trying to sound fiscally responsible and saying we're going to stand firm on $1 trillion. You have various senators coming out
The Republicans' bill is dead on arrival. This is a non-starter. This isn't going to pass. $1 trillion, it'll be more than a trillion, and the president will gladly sign it into law because this is an election year. And God forbid anybody show some type of leadership skill. God forbid any of these people come out and start telling the truth and even mention the word sacrifice, that we've lived beyond our means for too long. So it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that's why you have to stay diversified and you have to be vigilant. That's why you got to look into the precious metal space. Do your homework. Do what's right for you. Because they're killing, and I mean all central banks and all governments are killing their currencies. They're killing them. You cannot expect to throw more of something out into the market and expect the value of that product to increase in value. Especially in this instance, because this is all from a printing press. This isn't by producing more. This isn't actual production. This isn't bettering society. This is not constructive. This is destructive. And the effects of it have been felt the world over for years. And it's reached its boiling point. And that's why you have the collapse of Venezuela. That's why you have the collapse of Lebanon. That's why you're likely going to see a collapse in Iran and so many other countries around the world. This is just getting started. The governments and central banks could rush in at first glance. Okay, we're going to have a problem here with this thing, with this pandemic. We got to pull all the stops out. We got to do all these things. Try to calm the markets down. Get some liquidity into the system. Okay, let's make it look like it's a concerted effort. Let's work together. Let's get this done. That only bought us time. It only bought us a little bit of time. And what has been going on behind the scenes? Have things been getting better or have they been getting worse? They're getting worse because they're doing the same damn thing and expecting a different result. It's the definition of insanity. Like I said at the top of the podcast, the inmates are running the asylum. So you can't be surprised at the end of the day, if you're honest with yourself, as to what's going on. The protests, the riots, the out-of-control spending, the out-of-control money printing. You cannot be surprised. When you look at our elected representatives, because I don't want to call them leaders because they're not, they're pathetic. They're a disgrace. As was on display today at the House Judiciary Committee. On full display. Full display. So there you have it. Tomorrow, Jay Powell will come out, announce the FOMC's decision, make some remarks, answer some questions. There'll be a bunch of BS questions, of course. But I do hope, and I would love to be pleasantly surprised by a reporter. I don't care who it is, if they could grow a spine and ask some serious questions for the benefit of the American people. As to what's the true benefit of all this. Like I said yesterday, I'm not, of course, for this money printing. But if you're going to do it and you're going to tell us there aren't any negative consequences, then why don't you print the money to pay everybody's medical bills? Children's hospitals, cancer people who are battling cancer, excuse me. People who are starving to death. People who are homeless. If there's no negative consequence to all of this madness, then shouldn't those be our priorities? Actual people in need, actual people who are going to benefit from it? Why bail out pension funds? Why bail out money managers? Why bail out hedge funds? Why bail out private equity? Why bail out? Why buy corporate debt of the largest corporations, not just in this country, but in the world? This is all ass backwards. This is why people are protesting, and this is why it's just getting started. But it's an utter disgrace. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.